Good morning. Ding dong, ding dong. We'll get those bells going eventually. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another day to praise our God on the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. So remember, the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit being poured out on His people. And now this is the 16th Sunday where we've taken a look at that and what that means for us in our lives. And especially this morning, we're going to take a look at what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. Who God is and how He feels about us. Our God, we can see from creation all the way to everything we hear about Him in His Word, He's powerful and He's caring. And that's what we're going to praise God about this morning. And we'll begin by doing that with hymn 432 in the Red Songbooks. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray to our compassionate and caring God. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson that shows us God's power and his caring heart comes from Isaiah 35, verses 4 through 7. Here we see that God has the power not just to open eyes and ears, but also spiritually to do that. And that's what he pictures here with Jesus coming and the salvation that he brings. Isaiah 35. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. This is the word of the Lord. There are 151 psalms, and now we join together to sing one of the psalms as a song. We go all the way to Psalm 146, the psalm of the day. The second lesson comes from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Here we see the disciples given the power to heal someone in Jesus' name, showing just who Jesus is. Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects what we can do, knowing who our God is and how he feels about us, from Philippians 4:4. Alleluia. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. This will also serve as the sermon text for today, from Mark chapter 7. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and if there are any children in the congregation who want to come forward for the children's message, you can meet me up here at the front step. Dad, happy birthday. Stella said she turned 6, so make sure to tell her happy birthday. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Do you two want to come over here? I see you looking. What? You good over there? Your sister's right there. You can go right there.
Where's David?
Anybody? No? Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Good. Good. Say, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to act something out, and I want you to tell me what I'm doing, okay?
Why do you have steps?
We have steps so that we can go up to this area over here with the altar. That's a good question. You never know what's going to happen. Okay, so I'm going to act something out, and I want you guys to tell me what I'm doing. Are you ready? All right.
Hey, what's that for your thing?
I'm asking you a question. What's this?
Hey, people, for your swing shot.
A swing, that's right. That was a swing from a baseball player. Good. Baseball player, all right? All right, what am I doing now?
It's not that.
I'm reading, right? I'm reading a book. I'm a book reader. All right. Now, what am I? Quack. Quack. A duck. That's right. So if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? Yeah. Pretty simple. So when we see Jesus doing some things that Isaiah 35 said God does, right? Helping people's ears be opened, helping their eyes go from blindness to sight, then we see that Jesus is God, right? God does those things. But Jesus does more than that. When he does those things, he also shows us something about God. There's something that Jesus reveals a lot about God. Let me ask you this one then. If you had a friend who was hurt and injured, what would you do? You'd want to help them, right? Why? Yeah, if they can't get up or something, and you want to help them because you care about them. So that's something else we see. From all of these miracles that Jesus was performing, he was helping people get sight, he was helping their ears be opened, he was helping them walk. Even his disciples were doing it in his name. They were all revealing something very big about God. How does God feel about us? Love, that's right. He cares for us so much. And we see that especially in what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now that takes a lot of love, and that reveals a lot about our Savior and who our God is. Let's say a prayer, because sometimes it can be hard to see that. So let's say a prayer. Lord, forgive us for the times when our spiritual eyes and ears are blind and deaf to all of the care that you give us. Thank you for showing us who you are. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to show your love to others. Please guide us as we do that. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey. All right. Hey, all of you guys can go back to your seats. We'll continue with the hymn of the day, hymn number 765. That's in the blue songbooks.
Thank you.
God's grace and God's peace are with you, brothers and sisters, truly. You can believe that and take that to the bank. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare who you are. Amen. I'd like to share a story with you this morning. Like to share the story of someone named April. April was a pretty normal person with a normal upbringing, or so it seemed to April. She didn't really have anything that stood out about her life compared to other people, at least it seemed to April. She married her high school sweetheart. They had three kids, 2 and 3 years apart. She had a normal job working at a local restaurant. They were members of a church, but it really didn't go all that much. Then one day, April got a phone call. The driver of the car who hit her husband's car said that he, just for a moment, lost focus as he unintentionally ran the red light. April went to school to pick up her kids, and there she sat with them on the waiting room floor of the hospital when the news came that the kids would never see their father again. April took leave from work. Friends came and visited. They didn't know what to say. She said that they just sat there in silence most of the time. She said it felt really awkward. Her neighbors would stop by and give her meals, asking if she was all right. No, she wasn't all right. And she was kind of sick and tired of putting on the whole facade of, yeah, I'm hanging in there, when she really wasn't. Her family came and visited her too, of course, and her sister kept quoting Bible passages in every conversation to her, and that was getting a little tiring. Life went on, and April returned to work. The restaurant she was working at, 2 months later, closed down, and she was out of a job. So suddenly she was a single, unemployed parent of three. How is she supposed to make all of this work? It was obviously taking its toll on the kids. She herself could barely get any sleep at night. April started getting tired of all the everyday little things. Having to prepare meals and get dinner ready for her and the kids, and having to do the dishes afterwards became tedious. Having to mow the lawn. Having people say to her, "How are you?" Suddenly her least favorite phrase in the English language. She kept hearing the same songs on the radio repeat, and that would get to her. And then she switched to Christian radio just to give that a try, but it was the same thing. So she said, forget that. April felt lost. She had her friends, she had her parents, she had her kids, but she still felt all alone. She said she felt as if God had forgotten her. Couldn't he see the things that she was going through? Couldn't he see her situation? Couldn't he see her pain? Couldn't he hear her cries? And her parents would visit her and call her, of course, and they were devastated with her, but their conversations would get tiring too. They'd always say, "Oh, you should read your Bible more. You should go talk to the pastor. Or you should go to church." Why? She thought. Who cares? God doesn't. Even though she didn't really want to, deep down, one Sunday morning, she decided she was going to go to the worship service at her church. Just to pretty much get her parents off of her back, right? She said it started with a song of praise to God, but she couldn't help but think, for what? The service continued with a confession of sins, kind of like we have here, and she thought, oh, if I wasn't depressed enough, now I have to think of all the bad things I do. The pastor said some readings. She didn't really pay attention to those. And the pastor got to the sermon. Believe it or not, the pastor was preaching on the same sermon text we're looking at today, Mark 7, 31 through 37. She said her interest was really piqued when he started to talk about what happened in that sermon text. She said the pastor said something like this. Jesus comes to the Decapolis, which is a region outside of Israel, so considered not God's people, right, the Gentiles. He had been there before. He had healed two demon-possessed men. So these people knew who he was. And because of this, and because they had heard that Jesus could do great things but just by touching people with his hand, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. Imagine what life must have been like for this man. Deaf and could hardly talk. It had to be frustrating every single day where you couldn't hear people and you couldn't communicate effectively to them. He had to feel like he was somewhat of an outcast. Even though he had friends, it had to be like he was all alone sometimes. Why, Lord? He had to think, Lord, don't you care about me? Can't you see what I have to go through every single day? Do you even know who I am? Yeah, God knew. And Jesus was about to make that very clear. Jesus takes the man away from the crowd. He doesn't want to show for what he's about to do, and he wants the man to feel at ease, away from the onlookers. He wants this man to focus right on him and get rid of all the distractions. The friends ask that Jesus place his hand on the man to heal him, but not for this man. Not this one. No, this one needed something far more personal. This man needed to see something and know something. So the man can't hear, so Jesus uses actions. He puts his fingers right in the man's ears, as if to say, I know that these are closed. I know that you can't hear, and I'm going to do something about it. Then, since spit was seen as a curative agent by some people in that day, he spit on his finger, and he touched the man's tongue. Talk about an invasion of space. Seems kind of gross, too, doesn't it? But Jesus was telling this man, I know something is wrong with this, and I'm going to do something about it. I know that there's a bond on this that needs to be loosened. Well, guess what? God knows. He was showing exactly that God knew. This was deeply personal communication. But then he shows the man that God's care isn't just personal. It's also compassionate. He looks up to heaven, and he gives a deep sigh, as if to show heaven is where your help comes from. Heaven is where you look to and you sigh in your anguish. Well, heaven knows. The God in heaven knows, and he sighs with you. And he's going to do something about it. The Son of God from heaven right here with you, face to face, is going to do something about it. And then he does. Face to face with this hurting man, Jesus simply says, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Imagine the sudden change for this man. Now he could hear, and now he could talk. Maybe even the very first word that he hears in his whole life is the Son of God himself telling him, Ephphatha, be opened. That was just one word, that's it, just one. And it brought all of this out. Now that is power. And Mark gives us the specific Aramaic word so that he puts his readers there. He can show that this encounter with Jesus is very personal. It's compassionate. And it's powerful. How could this man not see it before? And if he did, here's a great reminder. Yeah, God knew. And God cares. April hadn't even noticed, but suddenly she realized that she was in tears. She was like that man. Suddenly so many things made so much sense. It was as if be opened was just spoken to her mind and to her heart. Her mind was opened to everything that had happened. Her mind was open to everything that had happened that morning in the worship service. The confession of sins came to life. This wasn't just some dead, yeah, God, I know that I did something wrong, and I know they were bad, right? No, this was an acknowledgement that God knew every single sin, and that each one cut him deeply. This wasn't a confession of sins to some impersonal God, but to an intensely personal one. And that made the pronouncement of forgiveness from the pastor flood her opened heart with peace. Even in that moment during the sermon, after the pronouncement had already been made, her forgiven? Forgiven for her every doubt of God's love and care, for her every moment of worry, for her every single blatant or subtle time when she cursed God for what she was going through. Each one of those sins personally placed upon the shoulders of Jesus for her sake. Jesus sighed at a man who couldn't hear and who could barely talk. How much had he sighed over her pain? How much had he sighed on the cross over her every sin? That suddenly made the praise song at the beginning make so much sense. And the readings. And all the encouragements from her parents and the Bible passages that were quoted to her by her sister. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," her sister said. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do not fear, for I am your God. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you. They who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. There will be no more mourning or crying or death or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." These weren't the messages of some impersonal God. These were the messages of a God who felt our pain, who knew our pain, and who promised that they'd all be gone someday. These were the messages of a God who desperately wanted his people to know his heart for them, each and every one. This opened up her mind to all of the other instances where maybe God was showing his care to her through others, too. All of those repeated songs on Christian radio, all of the how are yous that she kept getting. Some were said in passing, sure, but some were certainly from people who truly cared and wanted to know. Her friends that came and visited her that didn't know what to say and sat in silence, it felt awkward, but they were being there for her. So were the neighbors who kept bringing meals. Even every meal that she had to prepare and all the dishes that she had to do and all the lawn that she had to mow were evidence of God's past and continued blessings. God was caring for her. It was as if God was face to face with her, not touching her ears or her tongue, but her broken heart and mind through his word and through others. This opened up the whole rest of the worship service too, she said, as it was happening. Prayers were said to God as if he was hanging on every word. Some prayers were general so as to pray for many people, but some prayers were specific as if God knew these people individually and truly cared for them. The words of the remaining hymns came to life. Her ears even clung to some of the words that were said during the blessing. Keep, make shine, gracious, favor, peace. It was as if the blessing was a summary of everything that God wanted to tell her. There was some sort of power at work here. These were just words. She hadn't realized it before, not to this extent, but these words weren't just words. Ephatha was just a word, and look what happened. These words were powerful, and April was different than when she had first entered church that day. Her mind was now open to God's personal, compassionate, and powerful care. Now maybe you and I won't have a drastic opening of our mind and heart like April did. But why not? What's different that what was described than anything that you and I have experienced from God and continue to experience from God? Our lives maybe aren't as tragic, or maybe they're even more tragic. Some of the details might be different, but the doubts, the worries, the pain, the suffering, the sorrows, those are all the same. We've all been there, and sadly we know that in this life we're going to be there again. But so will God. The instances of his personal care for you might be different, or they might be the same, but you and I are April. Is the story of April real? You bet it's real. Real for each of us. God personally, compassionately, and powerfully cares for us. After all, the name April comes from the Latin word that means to open. That's why it's the name of the month where the buds of the flowers start to open. I am April, and you are April. Maybe you and I don't need our ears open so that we can hear sounds, but maybe we need them opened by the Word of God so that we can hear him speaking to us through his Word, through other believers, through our family members or friends, through this song or through that prayer or through the blessing, and so on and so on. Maybe we need not the bond of our tongue opened and loosened by the Word of God, but maybe we need the bond that keeps us from opening ourselves up to God and fully letting him in. Maybe we need that loosened. God will be personal if you let him be. You and I are April. God personally, compassionately, and powerfully shows his care for us. God knows, and he's there. Your mind and your heart will really be opened when you realize that we are also the friends, the sister, the neighbors, the parents. God comes to us face to face through others and cares for us, but sometimes we get to be those others. We get to be God's conduits of his personal, powerful, and compassionate care. Not only are we the personally cared for, but we get to be the personally caring, just like our God. Ephphatha, be opened, Jesus said to the man. He says that to you now. So what's your story of personal, compassionate, and powerful care from God? Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God flood your opened heart. Amen. We now confess our faith, as so many Christians have, in our powerful and caring God for 1,800 plus years, according to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated for the offering. We now join together to pray to God responsively with the prayer of the church and then the Lord's Prayer on page 11. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. Sovereign Lord, be the refuge for all who are suffering from health challenges this week, especially Mike Adamson, David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Martha Schmidt, and Louisa Burke's father, John Appelt. Give them all the hope given in your Son, Jesus, which proves how much you care for every one of us. Holy Spirit, be present in the lives of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Guide them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life, which bring immense meaning to each new day and to all of our relationships. Comfort all who remember loved ones this week, especially the family of Kathleen Getty. Give them the solid assurance of eternal life and the life we'll have in your presence forever. Bless them with good days and shine your love even brighter on difficult days. Today we also ask you to be with the families who were most affected by the attacks of 9/11. Bring comfort to the mourning and depressed. As many gave their lives to prevent further violence and injury, give all the resolve to give their lives to you. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now ask the Sunday schoolers to please come forward to sing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me, number 433. Good morning. It was a pleasure worshiping with you, our good God, as always. Please stick around for Bible classes and Sunday school as we continue to hear God speak to us through His Word. A big thank you to all of the mighty warriors who came out yesterday. We had some fun pounding the pavement. I think we had 19 volunteers. We hit I don't know how many houses, but we had, in just basically an hour and a half span, had 52 gospel seeds planted. So God be praised for that, his people going out and telling them about his love. Thank you for all of those who came out. The thing that we were inviting people to as we were going out was the community cook-off, and that's in less than 2 weeks now, so 2 weeks from yesterday. That's 3 o'clock to 7 p.m. on September 22nd. I think there are far too many invites available yet out in the lobby, so grab some, give them to your friends. And also sign up for the cook-off. I think we have only 2 so far signed up for the cook-off. So we have 3 prizes, so if somebody just wants a guaranteed prize, go ahead and sign up. But go up online and sign up, and if you've been waiting, please do so we can prepare for that. Thank you. The next Bible information class is going to start next Sunday evening. The sign-up sheet is back there in the lobby. If you know of somebody who wants to be refreshed in the basic teachings or who are interested maybe in membership, this is the class, as always. And also, as always, you are all invited. It means a lot to those people who aren't members that members are retaking the class or refreshing themselves in these truths. So it speaks volumes, especially to a lot of the younger families who are going to be there, who are many of them unchurched, but who are going to St. Mark's for the first time. Let's see, if you want to write a review, we've been putting this in the weekly update, and so far nobody's done a review. But write a review of our church and the school specifically online. The school right now, and we all know that it isn't accurate, but we've got a 2.3-star rating. All right, so if you have any effect from the school, if you had your kids in the school and you like it, go online onto Google, leave us a review, because we know that our school is excellent. We serve excellence in Christian education. So thank you for that. The second annual LWMS Tea and Tasty Treats is coming up Saturday, September 15th. So there's a sign up for that. If not, speak to one of the LWMS ladies that they can help you out. The Meal Train, if you don't know what that is, it's a group of congregation members who provide meals to those who need them for various reasons. If you would like to sign up for that, and please do, speak to Cheryl Russell. You can find her number in the directory, or you can contact the office and we'll help you out. But the Meal Train, Cheryl Russell, thank you. And now we'll see the next Wells connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Outreach is the focus this coming October as churches all across our synod will unite for a special Mission and Ministry Sunday. The centerpiece of this effort is the new Wells-produced film, the fourth in a series that began with Road to Emmaus about 10 years ago. The new film, titled To the Ends of the Earth, presents an important outreach message that the gospel is indeed intended for people from all walks of life, everywhere.
Hello, I'm Mike Hintz with the Wells Commission on Evangelism. I'm on set of the fourth movie. Movie number four focuses on the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the city of Philippi on his second missionary journey.
This Bible story was chosen because the people Paul encountered in Philippi mirror those we see today in our outreach efforts.
The first convert is Lydia. A woman, a powerful, prosperous woman who came to treasure Jesus and what he had done for her. The second convert that we come in contact with is a slave girl on directly the opposite end of the spectrum. The third and probably the most important convert in Philippi is the one we remember the most, and that's the jailer. What must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer to him was so clear, not just to him, but to all of us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
A range of study materials and other resources are available to help churches use the film in Bible study, evangelism training, and outreach. As with the previous films, congregations are finding all kinds of creative ways to do outreach, including this church that handed out copies at a local grocery store. Bulk orders will again be available.
The two things that we really want to do in the Commission of Evangelism is to energize and equip every member of the Wells to be an evangelist.
The Lord commanded Paul or directed Paul to Macedonia. Where is he directing any of us? To our neighbors, to our friends, to the world. The ends of the world still await us. And our message.
And make us a light for the nations, that we might bring your salvation to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord.
The movie dramatically reminds us of the Lord Jesus' directive to proclaim the message of salvation both near and far. May God help us to be about that important work so that many more may come to know Jesus as their Savior. Here's a special preview of the movie To the Ends of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Paul of Tarsus.
I have appeared to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. Sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light.
He will decide our next move.
And from the power of Satan to God.
Dame Lydia, a seller of fine cloths.
God loves all of you. He sees you as perfect in his eyes.
What have you done?
It's not my blood.
And we are Roman citizens.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.
Jesus has set you free, child.
For I am commanding that you bring salvation to the ends of the earth.
Coming fall 2018, and it will be here in a set of 200 for our welcome center and all of that to give to people soon. Let you know when they come. God bless you with his goodness throughout your day and throughout your week. Please stick around to greet one another. Oh, did you want to say something? I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Wanted to let you guys know, I wanted to be very clear that we need all of you. We need you to sign up in the back. And if you're not a grill master, that's okay. Do you eat? Right? If you are an eater, you are welcome to this event. We are asking that you sign up in the back here of church. Today it would be really good. Next Sunday would be the last time to sign up because it's right after that, the following Saturday. But we need all of your participation. It's an event for everyone to come, enjoy fellowship. There'll be games and fun for kids and food for everyone that we'll be providing. So you don't have to work. You can just come and enjoy and just bring a little something to share. Thank you.